We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on 790 The Ticket. It's taking you up until 10 o'clock today.
Oh, good, you two.
Where's the cutoff?
Probably after this.
And that was it? That was done.
I remember watching the New Year's thing with U2, and they had a different lead guy for a New Year's Eve party in New York.
Did they?
Yeah.
They didn't have Bono?
No, they had another guy from another group.
Whew. That's weird, man.
On New Year's Day.
On New Year's Eve, you know, New Year's Eve party in New York, where they had the, you know,
And then they probably have to sing their, once it becomes New Year's Day, they have to sing their song, New Year's Day. It's a rule.
It's a rule.
Hey, we hear the word essential a lot lately, and it's a word that's taken to a whole new meaning. Products that we use to take for granted, soup, soap, disinfectants, are actually essential. The reality is that now millions of Americans don't have the essential things we need so desperately. So Unilever is donating products like Dove and Hellmann's to Feeding America and Direct Relief. It's part of Unilever's National Day of Service on May 21st. That is today. And they invite you to join them. Get involved. WeAreUnitedForAmerica.com. WeAreUnitedForAmerica.com. Check it on out there, everybody. Let's get to some headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Which is brought to you by the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores, truly steps beyond convenient. So the Miami Herald, we remember we were always wondering why Chad O'Shea got fired by the Dolphins.
Chad O'Shea! Sorry.
Well, the Miami Herald explained why Brian Flores wanted to make a change at offensive coordinator, and apparently, you know, O'Shea apparently had too complicated of an offense, and the players were not grasping the offense, and it was a disaster.
Oh, boy.
I mean.
Oh, boy.
Here. You hired him to be Chad O'Shea.
You hired him to be Chad O'Shea.
Now. There's certain coaches that adjust, but keep in mind, it's also the same team that had, 15 starters, new starters, first week of the season?
Yeah, the offensive line especially had the
right. Most change. Right, and so it's a little bit unfair, but we had this conversation before. It's one of those things where you have a lot of young players that aren't or trying to learn how to be professionals. If you bring in a difficult offense, it's mind-blowing at how little they pick it up. A lot of coaches will simplify it. But if you brought a coach in because you like what he does and he tries to do that, I'm not necessarily going to get on O'Shea, because guess what? Everybody knew this offense when you hired him. You knew what his offense was going to be.
this is what I think it probably was, though, Leroy, because reading the story, it said that he was actually fired in the midst of his exit meeting with Fitzpatrick. And then when he went back to Fitzpatrick, Ryan was actually surprised that he got fired. If that's the case, I would guess that a lot of it has to do with Josh Rosen probably didn't pick it up. And if they feel like, and what happened was this, O'Shea, it says O'Shea would go to Flores and say a player didn't know the playbook, but some players felt that O'Shea wasn't doing a good job teaching it. This dude's a snitch. I mean, he's going, wow. Yeah. This is what I like to call Gase qualities. You know, you blame the players, bum players,
dude,
snitching.
You got to answer to your head coach.
Nah,
you hear it all the time. Here, you hear this all the time. You hear a head coach yelling, hey, why aren't we getting this? Right? He'll yell at practice. Now, the coach won't say anything then. But at some point, it has to be discussed, whether it's the player, whether it's the system. But I will say this, is that you know what kind of offense dude was coming in here with.
Well, either way, he's if this is the case, though, if Fitzpatrick was surprised that he got fired, I think what it probably comes down to is they thought, this guy probably didn't do that good a job teaching the offense to Rosen. And if he couldn't get through to Rosen, how do we feel about him teaching our next franchise quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa? That's what I think it probably comes down to, is that he didn't do a good job with the young QB. Young QB couldn't grasp a quote-unquote complex system. So let's get something that's not only easier, but maybe a guy who's a better communicator in Chan Gailey, who's been doing it forever.
You could also try to help him. Like, look, let's not underestimate the word coach. You are a teacher, okay? It's your job, if you have a system that reportedly works, to teach it to your players.
Agreed.
So I'm not going to give them a pass from that standpoint to say it's too hard, they're not picking it up. That's your job. What if your wife came home and said that?
What do you mean?
Yeah, these kids. I'm teaching. I got the material. They're not smart enough to pick it up.
Well, listen, my wife doesn't have Gase qualities. You know, she's a good teacher.
But if that's your job title says teacher, then you got to figure out a way to get it across to them.
I know, but this O'Shea, you have some of these people in the league. They think they're gurus. They're supposed to be. Everybody's supposed to be the genius. Like, for example, it says that O'Shea had spent the previous 10 seasons as a wide receivers coach. The Patriots offense considered complex, but as a player said, O'Shea made the situation worse by trying to instill especially complicated advanced elements of the Patriots offense that Brady and Josh McDaniels used. Those plays and terminology might be second nature to Brady, who has 17, 18, 19 years of experience. So this guy, it's just like Gase and Peyton Manning. Why aren't you being Peyton Manning? Why aren't you being Peyton Manning? O'Shea right. said, why aren't you being Tom Brady? Why aren't you being Tom Brady? Like, you come in here with a false sense of what's easy for these guys to learn when you have a legend next to you.
That is a sign of a poor communicator. He finally got more power. And this happens a lot in coaching, right? You go from coaching 6 or 7 guys. Now you got to coach a whole unit, a whole offense. And you become a coordinator, and guess what? Now you're dealing with 20, 30 guys. And it's important for, you know, if the offensive line didn't pick up that or the quarterback didn't read the read, that's not your guy. When you're only coaching wide receivers. Now your responsibility is to make sure everybody is on the same page. And so this is one of the problems that, you know, in coaching in general is that, can you lead men? Can O'Shea not only coach a group, he might be a good coach, but can he lead a whole unit? And then it becomes, okay, he can lead a whole unit. Can he lead a whole team? Now you got to worry about the other side of the ball too. It's all natural process. So
it seems like Flores would go to O'Shea and he's like, yo, What's up with Rosen, O'Shea? He goes, I don't know what to tell you. He's not going out. He's not learning the bloody playbook. Chad O'Shea.
Wait, and what sucks is that isn't Rosen supposed to be a smart guy?
All right.
Clearly not as smart as Fitzpatrick.
Well, nobody is. He's got his little child up there on the press conference doing quantum physics.
Right. The thing that you need to understand about football in general, it's not the number of plays, right? It's the number of formations you run those plays. You only have five or six plays, but you might run each one out of five or six different groupings, different formations, different circumstances, and all those things with the same basic plays are tweaked just a little bit. So that's where it becomes difficult.
No names, but ever be in a meeting with somebody who's dumb as a box of rocks and you're just like,
ooh. Yep. Yep. And it's hilarious. Because like when you're in the running back room and it's always a guy who wants to ask a bunch of questions.
Oh, no.
Right?
Oh, so he's like the guy in our meetings?
Right.
Extra questions guy?
Right. So he's asking questions, so everybody's giving the side eye because we're trying to get up out of there. I'm like, yo, you seem like you need to get in your playbook at home. And then, you know, that's not the worst part. When you screw it up in like a game or practice and you're in the whole offensive meeting and the coach call you out, everybody just looking at him. You know, yeah. Like there's a basic rule in football. There's a basic rule in offensive football. You block inside out. So if you see a guy on the end line of the scrimmage, but that linebacker that you're supposed to block is in the A-gap, right, you go towards that guy because he's closer to the quarterback.
Yep.
It never fails. Never fails. Guy be looking out of the corner of his eye. That slot guy is coming, and he'll run out there, and the quarterback gets sacked. What's the first rule of offensive football? We all like every year. So it will look. I think Chan Gailey, people don't realize, is one of the guys that invented all this new creative football.
Yeah, they think he's coming in here. I think a lot of people think old Chan Gailey.
Old curmudgeon, right. No.
He's bringing in the wishbone.
Right. No, that's not the case at all. So if you're going to have a wide open RPO, high octane offense, you have one of the guys who originated it. Not only that, you have maybe an older guy that's been around a while that can communicate that to the players.
Text writes in, Tua, dumb as they come, wonderlick of 13. Luckily, he's good on the field. First of all, I believe he got a 19. That 13 was incorrectly reported, which he got a 19, which is actually higher than Dan Marino. So,
what I'll say is this. I'm going to use a phrase. He's football smart. Yeah. I mean, like, I would say you'll be able to tell, you know, and they'll be able to tell on the field. Based on how he handles himself on the field, what he does, where he's looking, and then go from there. I'm not passing any judgment on that. I mean, I can't, like, Wonderlic never threw a touchdown pass.
Did he have three different coordinators at Alabama or two?
Three. He had Sarkisian.
Yeah, well, I think Sarkisian was – I think he was only there for one game. I think in between Lane Kiffin and the next offensive coordinator, he was
– But Kiffin recruited him. Then he had, where's Dan?
Right. He was never offensive coordinator. He was just, you know, he was –
No, quarterback's coach.
Oh, he was quarterback's coach.
Yeah, Mike Locksley, the guy that –
He was going to be the offensive coordinator when he was looking for him, when Staples was looking for
when
him.
When he was in search of him.
Think about that. What is a quicker path – the head coach, offensive coordinator for Alabama or offensive coordinator for Miami? So it must have been brutal conditions.
Or it might have been like co-offensive coordinator too with Alabama. It might have been some sort of Fugazi role.
After we learned that Dan Enos likes to be shown the love because Central Michigan didn't show him the love, I can't imagine that working under Nick Saban is a place where you're getting a lot of attaboys.
Hey, like, here's the problem. Come on, man. Winning ain't easy. Winning ain't easy.
I know, but Nick Saban's just like, Nick Saban strikes me as the type of guy, like, you win a game, and he's like, all right, move on to the next thing. He's
That's Belichick.
I know. But if you're Dan Enos and you're like, Central Michigan wasn't showing the love to Dan Enos, that's right. A guy who needs a pat on the ass. He needs an attaboy.
How about this? How long has Bill Belichick has been an NFL head coach for 20-plus years, right? When is the only thing you can remember of him saying with a high or raised voice in 20 years? No days off.
Oh, that too.
Right. That's it. And it sounded uncomfortable.
That and then the guy who tried to compare Khalil Mack to Lawrence Taylor goes, what?
But he didn't say that with, like, raised voice. He just kind of in his normal.
It was the most emotion I've ever heard him ask at a press conference.
No, I'm going to tell you what. Those Giants defenses, he loved them. We had most of them on our team in Cleveland.
What other headlines you got, Robbie?
Well, you guys have mentioned this man already, Josh Rosen. So the NFL Network is reporting that the Dolphins are getting calls on Josh Rosen's availability, but the Dolphins are in no hurry to deal him.
Yeah, why be in a hurry? I would wait till somebody's in a real desperate situation to deal with.
Could you imagine, though? I mean, maybe it's his own doing, so I'm not totally going to – I don't know the reasons why. Could you imagine being Josh Rosen? Dude, you can't get a chance.
I'd probably do it for a four.
A fourth rounder?
A fourth rounder.
Dude's never played NFL football.
But he was. You're talking about a guy who was a first-round pick 2 years ago. He went from a first-round pick and then got traded for a second-round pick. So I give it a couple rounds down the year after, accounting for depreciation. I'd say a fourth-round pick. If the Dolphins, if they get offered that, you'd take it. But they might not get offered that.
If I'm one of these bad teams, like if you're, you know, Jacksonville, why not?
Because I don't even think they care. I think they're gonna roll with old mustachioed wonder
and Glennon,
right? And Mike Glennon, and hopefully ride right into Trevor Lawrence is what they're trying to do.
All right, I guess. Now, if you're Trevor Lawrence and you see the bleep show going on in Jacksonville, Jacksonville, you're like,
does he play baseball? Like I would pick up a baseball and threaten to go play in the minors.
Hey, that's what Elway did.
Yep, that's what I would do. I would be as far away. You want to talk about people want to stay away from Cincinnati? I'd stay the hell away from Jacksonville.
Yeah, but Cincinnati's been a lot better in the last 15 years than Jacksonville or Cleveland.
I know, but that's what Joe Burrow. We can't act like he looked enthused to go to the Bengals this year.
Hometown, man, that's different.
Hometown. Do you see those curtains in his parents' house?
Hometown.
He'd rather be looking
really?
Over.
I would have loved to play for the Saints. When they gave me a call, I was broke down. I would have loved to play at least one game or one season with the Saints.
Somebody goes, you guys are worried about Rosen? He sucks. Just cut him.
How do you know he sucks, man?
Why cut him? That doesn't make any sense.
If you can tell Rosen sucks based on what you've seen, then basically you should be the highest paid GM in football.
Definitely should be higher than O'Shea.
No, that's coordinator, dude. I'm talking about running the whole thing. GM.
What are the headlines you got, Robbie?
Apparently, Tobin, Marlins fans this year are going to have a chance to manage the team for a day alongside Don Mattingly as a part of a Fanatics All-In Challenge.
Maybe we should enter Robbie so he could be like, don't do the shift!
No, I don't want it. You know why? Because...
Definitely not Bunting.
Here, you know what's amazing? That fans that see sports, if they haven't had a chance to do it, they'd be more extreme. So you think Mangley does the shift. You let some Yahoo off the street. All kind of crazy stuff going.
The extra
right?
shift?
Right. He's going to – the pitcher, if he looks good, is going to throw 175 pitches. I'm telling you. Do you think you can manage a game?
One game, yeah. I think we can manage one game.
I can manage a game.
Yeah. How many pitching changes would you have?
Depends what I have on the bump to start. If I had the Sandman, I'd let the Sandman ride it out a little bit, or Caleb with.
Yeah, you got to think about a whole season.
No, you said one game. If I'm going one game,
No. But you have to think about when that game is. Like, okay. Like, I remember back in the day when I was a kid, you know, we didn't have baseball, but you used to have that Saturday night, that Saturday baseball game on NBC, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Used to watch that. Starting pitcher didn't come out. Throw till you had a noodle arm.
Bob Gibson.
And they seem
people.
To do fine.
If it was Sixto Sanchez out there, I'd be a little bit wary. You know, I don't want to get his workload up too quickly in his career. I'd be a little bit more cautious with Sixto. But if it was the Sandman, Sandy Alcantara, I'd let the Sandman go out there and lull some people to sleep.
Oh,
a little bit.
You know who we got to get to manage a game.
Oh yeah, just put me in the dugout and call me Macho Skip. Yeah. I go out there, make all the pitching changes you need me to make. We'll do the squeeze play. We'll do a little hit and run ski. We'll steal some bases. I'll do the nose to the elbow. The indicator will be touching the bandana. All the signs will be out there. The Astros won't steal nothing. Nothing from us. We're going to go out there. We're not going to have an opener. We're going to have a closer. We're going to have a setup man. We're going to bring the old lefty specialist in there, submarine style. And we're going to manage our way right to victory and get another W for the fish. Flip the M. That's a W. Flip the M.
Hey.
Flip the triple M.
I could see you giving signals and the batter stepping out of the box going, what? You'd be the worst manager ever.
Stepping on
you manage out
the greatest manager ever. I go out there. I give the Slim Jims to everybody. I say, this give you a little bit more protein, a little bit more power. We flip that M. Watcho Wallens win. That would be what I was. Go all for right. The questions, Mean Gene.
All right. I got
Speaking
you.
Of which, the great Derek Lee is going to join us in about 20 minutes. Derek Lee, champion first baseman from the Florida Marlins, 2003. And if you guys are into this, they have this is cool. The Marlins have a Q&A with D. Lee today at 12:30. You head to marlins.com/rewards. Sign up for their Home Run Rewards program to gain access. Home Run Rewards offers fans exclusive access and prizes while they wait for baseball to return. So we'll talk to D-Lee in just a little bit. We'll be back with more on the show right after this. Tobin and Leroy here with you on The Ticket, taking you up until 10 o'clock today. You can text the show 67974. 974. Somebody says, keep Rosen, cheapest backup ever. I'm with you, man. It doesn't seem like something you got to rush into. It's a wild thing to say you want to go out there and just get rid of Josh Rosen just because. It's weird. It's a weird thing. Now, look, I don't want him to be the starter. I want Tua Tagovailoa to succeed. I want their top five pick overall to be the guy. But just to oust him, first of all, there's a couple things. One, you might find yourself in a situation where maybe he balls out in the preseason. If there is a preseason, but let's just say theoretically there is. Maybe he balls out in the preseason, tickles somebody fancy, you get that price up. I would say right now, Josh Rosen's value's never been lower. So if you get into a situation and you have a quarterback, a lot of these people, they hoard the quarterbacks. They have them in a situation where they're going to be in a situation where you have them and maybe you get a game out of them and you can go see what he's got. The other thing is, like, look, maybe if the Dolphins are in a situation where they don't feel Tua's ready, if they don't feel like he's the guy, then they keep Josh Rosen. And not only that, but if Fitzpatrick, who is old, gets hurt, then they can go out there and basically just go out and start Rosen and still keep Tua on the bench. I think that's the other benefit to it. You don't have to go out there and think about, oh man, we have to go out there and we have to go right to Tua if Fitzpatrick does get hurt. Also, the thing is, you're going to need a backup quarterback probably next year anyway. He makes no money. Unless he's going to make this absolute stink about getting out of Miami because he thinks he's got no shot playing behind Tua. But, you know, what there really is from the Dolphins standpoint, there is no rush. The guy's already been ousted by the team that drafted him in the first round. He's been traded to Miami. So I just don't see what the rush is. It seems weird to me that you just want to get rid of him because
I want to make sure I know he can play.
There's no point. Well, even if you don't think that he's going to be the guy, like, see if he goes out there. What if he throws some touchdowns, looks good in the preseason? Maybe you entice the team to spend a little bit more than a fourth round pick for him, because maybe they get an injury and they want to go with Josh Rosen, somebody young. See, kick the tires on him. Now, like, what has he done now? Now his value is at the absolute lowest it's ever been. So, what's the point? See if you can roll the dice. What's going to happen? You're eventually going to cut him if he's just an absolute. If you're absolutely convinced he's a bum. So what's right. The point? There's no use in not waiting.
I give you this. If Mitchell Trubisky is still playing quarterback, right?
Which he is for now.
Right. I'm having a hard time believing that Rosen gonna get a chance. But here's the issue. They drafted Rosen, and then a guy became available who really liked a certain player. And so they went and got that player. At that point, damage was done. You weren't going to keep Rosen.
Yep.
So then he came to the Dolphins. And the situation with the Dolphins was there's nobody who could play quarterback those first 3 or 4 weeks of the season with all the new players. And that's when he got his opportunity. So, I mean, I would like him to get into a situation where you can clearly see guy can play a little bit or he can't play. He hasn't been in that situation yet. And for Flores to say, we've seen enough. Have you on that team? Right? Can you, like, I'm just having a hard time with that. People are texting in. A guy texts in, Rosen didn't win anything in college. First round pick and lost that job. He didn't lose that job. It was one of those situations where your boss comes in. He's not going to just tell you your ass is fired. Here's the phrase that is used. We've decided to go in a different direction.
Yep.
That's what they literally did that with Rosen.
Yeah, they found a guy. They hired a coach who was praising up and down Kyler Murray. He wanted to go with Kyler Murray. It's an unfortunate situation. It's unfair, but it's also, like, this is one of those things where I don't know when he's going to get his chance, you know? But, the Dolphins' defense, it's not like I thought they came in here to give him this lavish audition. I think that it was a genuine kick-the-tires move. He didn't really have anywhere else to go.
Right.
And if he did work out, okay, it costs you nothing. If it doesn't work out, you have another quarterback on the roster, and it costs you nothing.
But it was never going to work out. What I'm saying is this. If you're going to kick the tires, have you kicked the tires yet?
You did a little kick. You did a little kick.
No.
You got loose a little bit.
You ever go to a car dealership and you look at the car, you don't check the performance, you don't check the miles per gallon, you don't check the horsepower or anything. You just look at the car and say, nah, I'm not feeling it.
Yep.
That's what they did with Josh Rosen.
Yeah, but sometimes you're not feeling it. Sometimes you get into the car, you're like, I can't picture myself driving this every day.
Doesn't mean that the car isn't any good.
Yeah, but it's also might not be the car for you.
Like, what's the Mitsubishi supposed to have some of the safest cars out there?
Uh-huh.
Can't look at it. Not my thing.
Just
okay, yeah, it's safe. Feels great. Right. Okay. No, I'm talking about the, the Outlander and the, I think I'm not sure it's Mitsubishi. Oh, I can't think of the name of it.
Nonetheless, I get your point.
Right. I mean, but again.
But it's all, isn't it the coach who seemed like he did a good job last year, isn't it fair for him to get a guy he thinks is going to fit him the right way?
But absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things that, just like I've said to everybody else, if you are pleased with what Brian Flores did with the team, with what they went through,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to say Rosen shouldn't be playing. I've never said Rosen should be playing. I'm never saying he should got more of a shot. I'm just saying that he kind of got a bum deal. Subaru.
He did get a bum deal, 100%.
Right. And so from that standpoint, like.
But I don't. I think most people know that he got a bum deal. Like, do you think it's most people think he got a bum deal?
Most,
or you think
most people think
that
he sucks.
Most people think he sucks, or is it just them's the breaks?
No, most people think he sucks. That's why he's not playing, because it's a clear cut thing. Like, you know, nobody's ever went to a different team and had success. Once a bum, always a bum. Right? Once you suffer, like, come on. Like, Mitch, come on. You know what this is like? What they're doing with Mitch Trubisky? Somebody trying to hang on to their job. Right? No, guys. You gotta, like, it's like watching when you guys tell me to watch these series, and you say, the first two are going to be brutal. Stick with it. Action picks up. You know what you tell me? Hey, the first couple, that's what they did with Mitch Trubisky. And that's what he's telling. Hey, God, the first 3 years, he was a young quarterback, not used to, business is going to pick up. It's not picking up.
I will put out a poll right now.
It's like Westworld.
Do you think Josh Rosen got a raw deal? Yes, no, dude sucks, or them's the breaks?
Yeah, he was drafted, what, 10th?
Yep, traded up 4.
Look at the opportunity that a number 10 pick in the draft got. Dude, Michael Beasley got more chances than him.
Michael Beasley got 4 chances with the Heat.
Right. That dude's played basketball for a long time.
Three chances with the Heat. I remember Michael Beasley saying he didn't get the fair shake with the Heat. I was like, really, dude? Really? Speaking of a guy who did get a fair shake, I'm very much looking forward to this, Leroy.
Yeah.
Derek Lee, champion first baseman from the Florida Marlins 2003. He's doing a cool thing with Marlins fans today. 12:30. If you go to marlins.com/rewards, you guys can do a Q&A with Derek Lee. 12:30 p.m. today. We're going to talk to the former champion first baseman of your Florida Marlins, as he'll be doing a little Q&A as baseball fans wait for baseball to return. But if you guys want to sign up today, marlins.com/rewards for the Home Run Rewards program to gain access. It offers fans exclusive access and prizes while we wait for baseball to return. Derek Lee joins us next. Very excited. Let's go out to the guest line right now. Now, the Marlins tomorrow, Leroy, they are going to be hosting a question and answer, Q&A they like to call it, Leroy, with champion first baseman Derek Lee, one of my all-time favorites. They're doing that today at 12:30 p.m. You head over to marlins.com/rewards. You sign up for their Home Run Rewards program to get access. It's going to offer fans exclusive access to prizes while we wait for baseball to return, which we are very eager. But we'll talk to the man himself, D. Lee, Derek Lee, champion 2003. And I'm not just pulling your leg, man. One of my favorites. I got two guys where, like, that from, like, 99 to 05, that's, like, my Marlins haven. But I would do Cliff Floyd, the Cliff Floyd batting box scrape, and then I got the D Lee bat waggle down to get going. So, like, this is a big thrill for me. We're happy to have you, man. Thanks for giving us some time.
I appreciate that. Good to be on with you guys.
So it's this is kind of cool. How much we just had the Last Dance that went down. Michael Jordan, everybody was thrilled for that. Can you give us, if you had to do a Last Dance for the Marlins, your championship year, the story you would love to tell to make everybody laugh and take them into the clubhouse, what would be the one that immediately pops into your mind from that year?
Man, that's a big-time question right there. Right out the gate, I like it. Man, if I had to pick a story from that season.
Is it Naked Mike Redmond?
I mean, that guy, it became so common. You know, for us, that was an every other day deal with that guy. But that team had a lot of characters. But I think you got to go right to the being down 3-1 against the Cubs, don't you?
Oh, man, 100%.
I mean, you got to go right there, I think, and just our team never even really feeling like we were out of it. Because if you go back to that season, I think we were 10 games under 500 at one point or something crazy, you know, nowhere in the running for the playoffs, and just really turned it around. But I would say just to that Cubs series, maybe even the Bartman play, as cliche as that sounds, just our, you know, we were done at that point and turned it around.
Were you like,
they got Bartman, but they don't remember the shortstop booting the ball. He got a free pass.
100%. I mean, Bartman did what we all would have did if we were sitting right there, right?
Right, of course.
If the ball's coming down your head, you're going to try to catch it.
Was it weird for you going there? Because you were awesome for the Cubs, but like you're coming in with this heartbreaking all-time moment in their history. And here comes Derek Lee to Chicago, champion of the Marlins that broke their heart. Was that weird at all?
It was. And you know what? If you remember that year, I got traded for Hesop Choi. And Hesop Choi was killing it in April. I mean, if you got to look up his stats that April. He had a very good start. And I had an exact opposite. It's one of my typical slow starts. So I would be coming to the plate, and the whole stadium would be chanting, Hesop Choi.
What? Oh, man.
So my first month in Chicago was a little bit rough, but I guess I grew on them a little bit.
That's those Midwestern fans, man. They're all in.
They are all in, you know. They're going to let you know how they feel. But that was a fun thing about Chicago. You know, they were true baseball fans, and, you know, they were passionate about the Cubs.
So we were talking about this on our show pretty recently, but we were harkening back to those days of your infield. And we brought up the fact, and we didn't even look up the numbers, but the Marlins fans were delighted by hearing us talk about Righty Castillo Day. Luis Castillo, when he came up righty, was he like a superhero? Because it felt like when he was coming up, and it was a right-handed hitting Luis Castillo Day, he felt like a different kind of monster from like his little lefty squatting position where he was punching it all over the place.
He was like two different hitters. I mean, he was a good hitter left-handed, but you're right. He's just trying to slap it through the hole on the left side and beat a ground ball out. Right-handed, you should see his right-handed batting practice. I mean, this guy has power right-handed, like legitimate batting practice power. He must have grew up right-handed.
How is he that left-handed then? I want that power all the time.
I think somebody, you know, he was so fast. Somebody told him, get on the left side and hit ground balls and beat it out. It's a different day then. You know, now you can't do that now. You got to get the launch angle.
Yeah, that's like nobody would be into that these days. For your guys' perspective, you know, the Marlins are going through a lot of what you guys did in those early days. Like, you were in the struggle of, like, 98. What were those days like, and did it, you know, looking back on it, when you guys actually got to the top, like, did it feel all worth it? Because, I mean, you guys, you, Alex Gonzalez, Luis Castillo, Mike Lowell especially, like, that core of you guys were there for everything and then got all the way to the top. That had to be just such a crazy ride for all of you guys.
I mean, it really was. You know, we had some rough seasons. Losing 100 games is something I don't wish on anyone. You know, that makes for a long season. So to kind of come from where we came from as a group, and, you know, go from losing 100 games to winning a World Series, I mean, that's that's unheard of, really, with the same group. I know we brought in Pudge, but we had draft picks coming in, Dontre Willis call up. Miguel Cabrera. So we kind of did it as an organization built from the bottom to the top. And, you know, that's still one of my biggest regrets, that team did not have a chance to come back as a group in 2004 and, you know, give it another run.
Not to mention, you guys were, like you said, 10 games below 500. So it didn't even start off great.
I mean, it started off bad. I don't know the exact record, but I know it was bad early on. I mean, we changed managers. You don't change managers unless you get off to the bad start.
Are you guys here we go again? Like, what sparked it to where you guys, because, you know, you can start off bad, but then you go in that run and everything starts working. Was it like a gradual thing or just overnight, boom, different team?
It was gradual. I think, you know, you hate to pin it all on the manager, but I think it was a wake up call for us.
Right.
You know, Jack came in and we knew we were a good team. Once we brought in Pudge and with our pitching and like you said, with our defense, we knew we were a good team. We just got out of the gates bad, and we needed that kind of wake up call And it let us know, you know, hey, we're bringing a new manager because we feel like this team can do something. So let's get it going.
Now, you got traded to the Atlanta Braves in 2010. Do they have initiation of inflicting the unwritten rules of baseball? Because they are very hoity-toity, my friend. I do not care for the Atlanta Braves. Man. I don't like them. And they are the enforcers of the unwritten rules in baseball. Like, does Brian McCann walk in with a candle and like say, you must swear these are the unwritten rules of baseball that you must follow, Derek?
You know what's funny is I had that thought going in there. One of the things I didn't like about the Braves, I saw them on the road. They always had to wear slacks with like a collared shirt on the road. And I just, you know, I didn't like that. But when I got there, I'm going to tell you, my 2 months in Atlanta, it was obvious why they are in the playoffs every single year and won that division because of the way Bobby ran that clubhouse. It was probably the most enjoyable 2 months. I was totally beat up, had basically a broke thumb and broke rib. But the clubhouse atmosphere and the way they went about their business, unreal. I just enjoyed those 2 months.
Yeah, tremendously. But Brent McCann's got to calm down, though, right?
B-Mac is one of my favorite teammates. I was only with him two months. I'm telling you, man, this guy is – I loved him as a teammate. Great guy.
I'm going to edit this out, Leroy.
I
don't want that mythology. I don't want to hear that Brian McCann is a good guy.
I'm telling you, this guy's unreal. David Ross was over there. It was just a good bunch of guys over there.
One thing I can never figure out about baseball, and this is from a football guy, okay? If you throw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball and I hit it 400 feet, I'm sorry. Like, I don't – like, if the pitcher gets a big strikeout, don't he start gyrating and fist pumping and all that? Where's the unwritten rule that you can't pimp your walkout a little bit? That's crazy.
It's tired. I mean, I'm glad these kids now are finally starting to show, you know, show some emotion. As a fan, that's what I like to see. But you're right. These unwritten rules, they lasted so long. I don't even know where they came from, how they started. But it was definitely there were certain things you did and did not do on the baseball field. You know, it was like they were written rules, not unwritten. But you're right. They're tired and they're old, and it's time for them to be gone.
As soon as you hit a home run, they start timing it too slow.
Right. You know, it got a little bit overboard. You know, as a fan, you want to see these guys out there showing their personality, have some fun.
About their success. It's not
right. Right.
On the guy.
Exactly. Right. Exactly right. Yeah, exactly right.
Do you is there any part of you, like, are you watching what's going on right now with baseball? Does any of it intrigue you with I guess the players and the owners? Because it seems very weird. Like, we all want to see baseball get back, but I can understand how it's a tough one, because you got to think about, you know, the future of the game and all that type of stuff when there's a lot of young guys who just kind of want to get on with their careers. It's got to be a weird thing as a baseball player to deal with.
Yeah, you know, it's unprecedented times right now, so. You know, the players, I'm sure they want to get back on the field, but the concessions they make now, you know, have effects down the line. So I think that's the thing that our association does such a great job with. You know, they're not only thinking about current players, past players, they're thinking about future players. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into these negotiations that fans may not really consider. But I'm sure they'll come to a resolution, and the Players Association will do a good job of taking care of the players.
Was there any of that stuff when you were playing? Like, did you think about negotiations, associations, and all that type of stuff, or did you just let the association handle when you were in career? Like, do you think about that stuff a lot more now when you're done with it and realize that stuff? And when you're a player, if you're just in the midst of it, do you just try and go about it because you want to do well with your career?
Yeah, unfortunately, I was. You know, I didn't pay as much attention as I should have while I was playing. I do pay more attention now. You know, you have your player rep. They'll come back and kind of give you the lowdown of what's going on. But I do think it's important for the players that are playing out, you know, be informed, be involved, because, you know, these decisions, you may not think so while you're playing. Like you said, you're just kind of worried about going out and not going 0-for-4, but these decisions and negotiations that are going on do have a huge impact on your career, and it's worth taking the time to be informed about it.
Before we get Derek Lee out of here, big debate on our show. You a pickle guy?
What's that?
You a pickle guy? You like pickles? Pickles, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I love pickles. I love pickles.
Hey, I'm starting to, these guys are,
Can I get the backstory about this question, though?
Our producer, we have a thing on our show called the Spite List, which is, it's 74 things that just bug you. And I think, what did he have, Lero? Do you remember what Robbie had pickles at? Was it like top 10? He had like pickles, top five.
He hates pickles. He said it ruins his sandwich. He likes Cubans. The pickle ruins it. He went up. I'm telling you, this normally takes like 2 seconds. It took almost an hour for him to give, because he stopped on pickles.
Yep. He is, and I'm with him. I'm not a fan of the pickle either by any means, but hey.
I'm going to say that might be because growing up, everything was pickled. Right.
Everything.
And I had to have it. And so I think that might be kind of on the lines of a black and white thing.
Maybe. I don't know.
No,
it might
I'm
be.
Serious.
You might be right.
I'm serious. Because
you might be right.
I'm from New Orleans. They pickled everything.
Everything.
Everything. Right. My dad was from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. They tried to pickle everything.
Everything.
I always made the assumption that pickles came on hamburgers and sandwiches and stuff like that. When I got to school in Michigan, they would ask, what? No. It's just like sweet tea.
Right.
I thought that's the only way it came.
Right.
Well, sweet tea is delicious.
I'm a pickle guy all the way.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Don't put me on the Brian McCann list.
But wait, we had two lists. Brian McCann was on both of them.
Hey, you got to bring him on the show. He'll change your mind.
There's no way that's ever going to happen. I can promise you.
Hey, Derek, you know you have that one guy in your career that there ain't nothing he can do. I had the one guy in my career.
Yeah.
Everybody knows a guy, Bill Romanowski. No matter what.
He's on a lot of lists.
But no matter what, you can tell me he's a great guy, great father, great family guy.
You're not hearing it.
Don't
care.
Not
hearing it.
That's how he is with Brian McCann.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yep.
That
doesn't help.
Where to start?
One, the Atlanta Braves. That's one. And then just the one that really got to me was when he was Jose Fernandez hit a Jimmy Jack against them after one guy pimped out a home run against Jose. And he starts chastising Jose. Jose was a rookie at the time. He starts chastising rookie as he gets to home plate. I'm like, what are you doing? And then the problem was, your guy Redmond, he was like brothers in arms with the catcher. He goes, I agree with him. Rookie's gotta show respect. I was like, what? This was awesome.
So that's it. That's did it right there.
After that, that was a wrap.
That was it.
Oh, that's a wrap. There's nothing you can say. Like, I'm listening to you talk about Brian McCann. He's probably a great teammate.
Oh, probably
cool, good. Give a lot of advice. Toby's like, I don't want to hear it.
You guys can check out Derek Lee today, 12:30 p.m. He's going to be a Q&A with the Marlins Home Run Rewards members. Go check it out, marlins.com/rewards. Sign up for the Home Run Rewards program. Gain access. Home Run Rewards offers fans exclusive access to prizes while we wait for baseball to return. Derek Lee, this was a thrill. Thanks for the time, my friend. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, enjoyed the time. Thanks, guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.